I would like to read two verses found in the second book of Nephi, the first chapter, in the 115th and 116th verses. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. This afternoon, I wish to impress upon each one of us the importance of joy in our individual life. It is vital that we have joy. And we were placed here on the face of this earth that we might have joy. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit, along with love and joy and peace and the others that go with it. But that joy is something that God intended for us to have. But I wish to break it up into four different dispensations of time, and I might enumerate them in the reverse order. We can think of eternity and the goal toward which each of us has set our lives to attain, to live with God and Christ forever and ever, a time in which we hope to have joy which is beyond all comprehension. But what I want to show each of us, that we do not have to wait to eternity to have that joy. And there's another time that precedes that time, the millennium reign or the thousand-year reign, during which there will be supreme happiness upon the face of this earth, during which there will be great joy. And if we would back up another step, there is a place for man between death and their resurrection, upon the death of all peoples. Their souls immediately goes home to the God who gave them life, some to a place called paradise, during which there is great joy. And I wish to enumerate upon all these a little later. And then last, which should have been first, is this life of which each one of you and I are living in, during which I hope to impress upon us the importance of joy in our individual lives and of the happiness that God intended for each one of us to have. If we would take some of the writings of David in the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter, and read a few verses there, we would find the purpose for which man has been placed here upon this earth and the status which man has. And I'd like to read starting with verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And I want to pause there a minute. And the son of man that thou visitest him. And I want us to firmly know this afternoon the status of which each of us has in this life. And David wondered what man is that God is mindful of him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And I want you to think upon that, of your place in this earth today, just a little lower than the angels. And it's something that should seep deeply into each one of our hearts to think of such a place as that, of where we are in this life, a little lower than the angels. And the angels live with God in Christ. And so God is mindful of us. If we think not, we need but go out and look at a part of what David mentioned here, the stars, the heavens. We go out on a summer's night especially, it seems like you can see farther into them than you can in the winter. But to go out and see the stars, it has always caused me wonderment to think of the greatness of the creation of God. And yet they were placed there for your benefit and for mine to enjoy every night, at least it isn't cloudy. that we can see those stars. And when we think of all the creation about us and the greatness of the creation and the beauty contained therein, and we can look about in these mountains especially, because it seems like one is higher, and it seems like when he gets on a high mountain, he naturally can see farther. And you can look and see how great the creation of God is. And then we wonder, what is God, or what is man, rather, that God is mindful of us? He is concerned about you and I, for he did place us just here upon this earth, a little lower than the angels. He placed us here that we might work out our salvation before him, that we might prepare for that richer, fuller life to come. But he didn't intend for us to work out our salvation here in drudgery. He intended for us to work it out here in joy and happiness before him. And it is up to you and I how much of that happiness and joy we wish to attain in this life. We can go out on an evening and see the sunset, a beautiful sunset. God caused that that should be there. It makes man's heart glad if he will just take a few moments to look and see the beauty that is about him. And yet there are countless people today that never even see the beauties that God has. They're in such a rush to go here or there or pursuing some form of livelihood or some entertainment which they think gives them a form of joy. And actually, when that joy is completed, they're frustrated because they don't know what to do with themselves. And yet about us is the things that can make man exceptionally happy. It's the things that cost us nothing. And yet, in God's creation, there's countless things that can make man happy. And the beauty of the flowers and the trees and the birds and all things that God has placed there. And I have never ceased to wonder at these things myself, and yet undoubtedly I too have taken many of them for granted and have not enjoyed of them as fully at times as I could have. But I know the time that I did take the time, that it enriched my life. We sang a song here. It says, take time to be holy. And let me tell you this, you aren't going to find that time. You'll take that time, and especially in this busy world that you and I live within, we have to take time or we will not find it. One time, one of the members of this church was visiting at my place during a harvest. And he said that his work took so many hours a day that he just never had time to study. And so I told him, if you want to have time to study, you will have to take that time. That's the only way you can get it. And that's the way it is with me or anybody else's. At times, I will go along for a period of time and not take the time that I should to study, because it seems like the duties of this life are so pressing that I do not have time. So I, like all, must take that time to be holy. And when I take that time, I will be blessed, and maybe I will have more time in the future if I take sufficient time from day to day. It isn't just something we can meet here one day a week and hope to obtain of the fullness that God has in store for us, because we must truly take time to be holy. Thou madest this same man to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That is the position of man here upon the face of this earth. He is above all creatures. And all these things were put here for his benefits, including the heavens, the moon, and the stars. It was no sheer accident that those things exist, as some think that they evolved and came about that way. They were placed in the heavens for the benefit of man, lest we forget. This earth was made for the benefit of man, with its beauties and all that are contained therein. If it is defiled, it is because man defiled it. It wasn't the way God created it. He created it in its purity for man, and we can partake of it that way if we wish to. But it seems in all this life that there is, too, an opposition to joy. There is a degree of unhappiness and sorrow, and it is true. Man perhaps could not be happy at every moment, because there is sorrow of, say, the passing of loved ones or something that would cause man anxiety. But yet, in all of this, we know that if he seeks his God, that he can be blessed and yet find joy. Now, there is the Master of men who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if there was ever a time that any peoples are living in a dispensation of time wherein there is heavy laden, it is today, wherein there is grievous burdens and trials, wherein man's very being is being tried almost beyond what anybody could conceive, man could endure. But yet, it says, in the last days these things will be. And so we happen to live in this dispensation of time, and I don't happen to want to leave it very bad. I want to be here a while, and I think the rest of you do. So we are here to live this life, and let us make the most of it, and let us know that we must put our trust in God in spite of the things that will cause us to have cares and like things. For there is the Master of men that says, "Ye who are heavy laden, to come unto him, and he will give you rest." And that is no idle promise, because Jesus can give you a rest such that no man can give. It is spiritual peace, and that is yours and mine to enjoy if we wish to partake of it. But we find that there are many who do have grievous burdens. For we know that in this life there are those that have certain physical afflictions to bear. And it seems like that does cause a great burden to them. We know, too, that in God's infinite wisdom, he caused that there should be elders ordained. And he also said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him. And that the prayers of faith can save the sick. We can read that in that passage of Scripture. We, too, know that the use of consecrated oil, and I'm a firm believer in not only using it for administration, but for people using it individually, because I have been blessed too many times to even enumerate them all by the use of consecrated oil. And that has caused me a degree of joy within my very being. I could perhaps recount one or two, and some of these people have heard me mention them. One time, I was last summer, I believe, on construction work and happened to be pounding with a 20-ounce hammer and missed a nail set, and my thumb was laying on a concrete floor, and I hit my thumb very squarely and firmly. And nobody was around, so I went out to my car, and I had some consecrated oil in that car, and I placed some upon my thumb. And the next morning, I placed some there, and you know, the nail didn't even turn black. So to me, there was a miracle performed there which gave me a degree of joy. And I could enumerate many more than that, but I won't take the time this afternoon. But there are some of the things that we have accessible to us if we wish to partake of them. And we know that in the time we live, it is a time of great rush. People are pursuing livelihoods, and it seems like prices are going up, and it causes problems among people, and especially among the lower income people and our aged who have small incomes, and it does cause them anxiety of mind and trial. But yet there is a Jesus Christ that we can turn to, who has promised to give rest from all these things that problem us. We know that there are the lusts of the flesh that defile many people. There are certain worldly entertainments that people pursue, and after they have completed, they don't know what to do with themselves. And yet, here is the answer to all these problems. And the problem that, too, concerns me very greatly is our young people, our young children, all of them, every one of them, because they're living in a time when they're being tried beyond what you and I were as children. Without a doubt, there's things about them to cause them to go this way or that way. There's a multitude of things to cause them to walk in error's paths. And yet they too have that promise to them. And I want them to know that, because this is not just for adults, it's for every living soul upon the face of this earth who has a problem. And there is no child at times who does not have a problem, and there is no idol. We know at times we have our times of, we might call them off moments or frustration, and yet, like the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So when we bear pain because of some of these things, it's because we have borne them needlessly, because there is a Jesus and a God who can help us. And remember that, because he can strengthen us. And going back a little further to our young people, and a couple of Sundays ago, I believe it was, I spoke somewhat along this, but I just want to bring a little of it in lightly, because it seems like there's so many things to try them. They must make many decisions today on what to do. It's whether they want to be with the group who is, as many put it, the in group, or if they want to be called chicken or something of that nature, and then most of them don't want to be, so they'd rather go along with the crowd and partake of what the crowd partakes of. And it seems like there is many, and I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, partaking of these things called dangerous drugs, and it gives me concern. And I think that each adult should pray for these young people, and that the young people should pray as well, that they not fall in these errors past. There's many fine young people that have had their lives totally ruined because of that. In a recent article I read, it said even children of 7 years old was known to have become addicted to glue sniffing, which is, can cause brain damage and even death. And those things should give anyone concern if they don't, something's wrong. And those are the things that can cause lack of joy on the face of this earth. When we pursue the things of the flesh like that, we must know that momentarily we might be up here, but we can't stay there at that kind of thinking. The only way we want to be up here is in the Spirit of God. And so it is important that we do seek that master of men. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And there's no more tortured individual than a person who is at unrest in his soul. And that's where we need the rest. We have the key to all this, to take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon us, to become meek and lowly in heart. And as he taught the Nephites here, he told the peoples to come unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He has taught us that we must humble ourselves in the sight of God. And humility is a person who is free from pride and arrogance. And that is the type of people that we should become, and take that yoke of Jesus Christ upon us, the one that can give peace to our souls. And that is the person that we should seek after. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it becomes a burden to bear Christ's yoke, it is because we're following some other path. If we follow his path, as he said here, his yoke is easy and the burden light. But it is us, we, the people, who make this burden heavy and his yoke that way. We are told to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers and things of that nature, or unequally yoked with the things of the world that would defile us. But our yoke should be with one, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' teachings, in the book of John, the 14th chapter, I would like to read a verse or two. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now that is a short verse, but it's a verse that's filled with importance of the things that you and I should do. If you love him, keep his commandments. No other way. And note the great blessing that can be had by keeping the commandments of Jesus and God. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And in case you don't know, that's a long time. It's beyond human conception. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But if you love Jesus Christ and keep his commandments, you, even you, can receive the Spirit of truth. because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so there was a great promise that he made his disciples there. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He will not either leave you comfortless, or me, or any other peoples. For God is no respecter of persons in any dispensation of time. He dealeth justice to all, but he demands all to be obedient to him. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so it is important that we have that Comforter, even the Holy Ghost, to bring things to our remembrance, to teach us all things. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I want us to note this. This peace which Jesus Christ gives is not the peace that the world gives. We might pause a minute and think upon a definition that I somewhat like of the word peace. In fact, it's broken in three parts. The first, it's a condition of freedom from war, of which we know full well that this is not the case in the world in which we live today. Another is freedom from fears, and we know full well that this is not the case, but that is the peace which Jesus Christ leaveth, not as the world giveth. But that's the kind of peace that he would give. Freedom from fear. And we're living in a time wherein man is afraid for fear of the things that's coming upon this earth. And the last one is harmony in personal relations. Now that is peace. We get along one with another. We are free from fear. We're free from war. But even if we didn't, if we still had war, we could still have freedom from fear, and we could still have harmony in our personal relationship. And so, we can have this peace that the world cannot give, that only Jesus Christ can give. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we needn't have these fears. We've got a key to all our problems. The one who has told us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Yes, he who has told us to take his yoke upon us. Now in Mosiah, and some of the teachings of King Benjamin, I would like to read two verses from the second chapter and the 43rd and 44th verses, showing some of the things that is necessary that we do in this life, or should do, and the blessings that we could receive. I would that you should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. Now there is a duty of us, of any peoples, to feed the hungry if we have, to administer to the naked, to visit the sick. And you know, and I know, that if you have ever done that, it should give you a great degree of joy. It shouldn't give you a degree of pride, but let's put it spiritual joy. That's what it should give you. And it can be had. And it says not only that, you know, ministering to their relief, not only temporally, but spiritually. And so we do have a great duty. But I want you to note this next verse and see that all these things are done in wisdom and in order. For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. In other words, each one of us has a certain capability. And as I was thinking upon this afternoon, when I was going over some of the thoughts of this sermon in my mind, I thought some of our distant runners. Say we take the mile runner, for instance, and we know that they condition themselves exactly on what they must do. This first quarter of this mile, they know within a fraction of a second what they run that quarter in. The next quarter, and the next one, and the last quarter. They know what they must do in order to win that race. But we also know that the first quarter, that they do not run it with the speed of a 440-yard dash man or a 100-yard dash man. Because if they did, they would spend their strength and they would not have the strength to finish the race and win the race. But they know exactly what they can do. They do no more, but they do what they can do to the utmost. They know right at the breaking point of what they can do. And that's why we have some of these fine milers today. And so it is with us. It is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength any more than it would have been that miler. And so when we think of ourselves, there are certain capabilities of each one of you. And it's requisite that you do all those things with wisdom and discretion. But you can't do them beyond your strength. Because if you wish to win the race, you must do the things, but not beyond what you can do. Of course, the thought went through my mind, too, we might take this as an excuse for not doing them at all, too. Well, I just don't have any strength. And that isn't the thing we should do either, because we know that it is important that we do some of these things, that we do visit the sick, we do administer to the poor and the naked, that we do these things in their proper order, according to that what we have. Now, I would like to come to the second portion of this. I was thinking, first here we have this life that we were placed here upon to have joy upon the face of the earth. Adam fell that man might be, and man is, that he might have joy. And so man is that he might have joy upon the face of this earth. And I would like to turn to the period of time between death and the time that men are resurrected. In the 19th chapter of the book of Alma. And here we read some of the things that Alma had to say concerning this. Now, concerning the state of the soul between death and the resurrection. Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel. Now, this is made known unto Alma by an angel. That the souls of all men, as soon as they die, are taken home to the God who gave them life. But there is a second part to this. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of the righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise. And what is going to call first joy, happiness in this life? And if we prepare ourselves for richer reward to come with joy goes on to paradise, where there is happiness, where there is peace, note this, where man shall rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrow. Wasn't that indeed wonderful to think that God was mindful enough of you and I that he placed us here under these conditions, and that we could partake of a place called paradise if we wished to prepare it for such a place. And then shall it come to pass that the souls of the wicked, who are evil, for behold, they have no part or portion of the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And the dreams shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that is in a direct opposition
It's a place that we wouldn't hardly want to be found. That is really such a place. And there is those, for this limitless who shows evil works rather than good. The power dwelleth through the dwelleth. Concerned because I am not the judge. But I just want to read what it says here. But this I do. That the souls of the righteous go to a place called paradise where they will rest in supreme happiness and joy until their resurrection. And then we dwell with
a time during which we could live with them. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now that is of a certainty that none of the parents here would hardly wish their little children to go about leading leopards, the wild animals of the forest and the jungles, would they? But yet there will be a time when that very thing will happen. And the cow and the bear shall feed side by side. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Think upon that. There is a time when that will be. So it would appear to me it would be nice to prepare ourselves for such a time. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full, and notice this, full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, just as full as that. Wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. All things will be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it shall be manifest in light. And there is nothing which is sealed upon the earth, save it shall be loosed. Wherefore, all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall be revealed at that day. Now that is an exceeding great special promise in it. Now notice this. And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to live under such conditions of that and supreme joy. Now I would like to go to the fourth point of eternity, of how great it will be to live with God and Christ forever. And how important it is that we prepare our life day by day, our activities, our very being, that we might be found there with Him. And this is reading from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelations. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, even this that we now enjoy, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. And all the defilement and everything will have passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Note that. And then note this. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now that is a promise, isn't it? A joy throughout eternity. God, in his infinite wisdom, saw that man could have this joy from his onset upon the face of this earth, and that it would never end, but it's up to man. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I want us to think upon that for a few moments, that there will be a time when there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more pain, for we all have known sorrow, we have all known pain. There's things that has caused us all to cry, whether we be big, strong men, or whether we be little children, or whether we be ladies, or what it is. There's things that's caused us problems in our life. But all these things will be wiped away. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. And God himself shall be there among the people. And he shall be the God. And you shall be the people who prepare yourself for such a place. And so going back to the first statement, that Adam fell that man might be, and man is that he might have joy. And we find that in the fullness of time that Christ came, in that same passage, and said that the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And so man fell in the beginning. But God saw fit that he could send his only begotten Son into the world that man might have salvation. And without this salvation, or without his coming, we could not obtain this salvation. And so we see, if we wish to attain it, that we must keep those commandments. We have them before us. We see the necessity, as we've been admonished here, even recently, of especially humility among us. And if we will become a humble people in the sight of God, if we will entertain compassion and love one for another, and if we will seek after that faith that Christ has intended for you and I to have, then we can be blessed with these great things that he has. He has great things in store for those that love him. And I know they're there, and the sad part is I've not always partaken of them as I probably could have. Nevertheless, it is a time, it would seem to me, that we must prepare for this richer, fuller life, and that we might enjoy fully of what God has in store while we walk here day by day. And if we do this, we can be blessed and walk with him forever.
Thank you, Merlin. This afternoon, following the afternoon service, there will be an activity planned for the children 12 years old and under. 7:30 this evening will be a song service. 8 o'clock this evening will be a preaching service. Apostle Leon Yates will be our speaker. Now we have closed by using number 204. Number 204. Thanks for this free